Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's hard not to be anxious about the things of this world, the things of this temporal life. It's hard, I dare say, it's almost impossible not to worry about what I'm going to eat or about what I'm going to wear. For the things of this world, the things of this life, are the things that are constantly right in front of us. Your belly grumbles, and you can't help but think about how you need to stop it from rumbling. The body shivers, and you can't stop worrying about the jacket that you forgot to pack and how you wish you would have been more prepared for the day. But that's the way of things, I suppose. And I dare say it might very well just be the correct way of things, too. Especially if you have to worry about more mouths to feed and more backs to clothe than your own. Tell a mother not to be concerned with feeding her children, and you would have a better chance convincing her not to breathe. So what in the world is Jesus really trying to tell us this morning? What does it mean not to be anxious and not to worry about the temporal things of this life, which are so vitally important? If you remember from last week, Jesus had already started this conversation about the temporal things of this world, but there's a difference. Last week, there was that parable of the rich man who had so much stuff, he didn't know what to do with it. His concern wasn't about the day-to-day necessities, but about his overabundance. He already had food enough for today and enough tunics to last him until next week. He had enough food to last for months on end, a wardrobe that would fill most of our bedrooms, but none of that was good enough for him. Build more silos to store all the grain, knock out the walls, make room for a giant closet. That's what he said. The man's concern wasn't for today, it was for the rest of his life, making sure he had more than enough for all of those days. The problem, of course, was that the man had no idea how long the rest of his life was going to be. And so as he prepared to be content for the next few decades, the Lord saw it fit to take him that very evening. Truly, the moral of that story was you can't take it with you. But this morning, Jesus is no longer concerned with our giant mansions and our 401ks, but he wants us to take a good, hard look at the simple things, the most basic of things even. For even these simple things can create pitfalls for us, each and every single one of us, pitfalls that can lead us down a chasm of idols that avert our eyes from the one thing that matters to the many things that, while yes, they do matter, don't matter nearly as much. To be certain, our Lord is not telling us to sell everything that we have and be prepared to live a life of a beggar. And I know he says something sort of like that in our text for today, but we have to understand the context. For our Lord has turned away from the crowd. He was talking to the crowd last week. But this week, he focuses his attention on the disciples. And one thing that we do have to be careful about when listening to the words of Jesus is that we have to understand who he's talking to, because he's not always talking directly to us. Indirectly, maybe, but there's a difference. In turning to his disciples, Jesus is addressing a very select group of people whom he's already chosen for a very select task. These men are soon to be his heralds of good news. Once ascended into the heavens, Jesus is going to send out his apostles to proclaim the good news of a crucified and risen and ascended Christ for all people. And as ambassadors of Christ, the apostles are set apart for a purpose. And the Lord will accomplish the purpose for which he sends them out. They shouldn't worry or be anxious about even the most basic of necessities during their apostleship. For the Lord desires that his church is going to be established, and it's going to be established through the work of their hands, by the work of the Holy Spirit. They should not worry that God would forget about their most basic of needs when their basic needs need to be accounted for in order that the proclamation of Christ crucified might be done through them. Fear not, little flock. That's what Jesus says to them. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that kingdom is Christ. The Father desires to place Christ on the lips and the hands of the apostles in order that Christ might be proclaimed to the world. And if that's the Father's good pleasure, then the Father will most certainly see to it that his good pleasure takes place. Now, all of that is fine and good, but does that mean that Jesus isn't really then talking to any of us sitting here today, this morning? And hopefully you already know the answer to that question is no. When Christ speaks to his church, he speaks to his whole entire church, but he very well might have a different voice when speaking to those sitting in the pews than he does when speaking to those who will be speaking to those sitting in the pews. What I mean is, yes, Jesus has a word for you this day, and that word is the exact same word that he had for his apostles in our text, only it's just a little bit different. And I know, yes, that is confusing, but let's work through this together. Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. This is how Jesus begins our text for this morning. And his words couldn't be any more true. For those outside of the church, for those who have absolutely no idea who Christ is, either because the word of Christ hasn't yet been preached to them, or because they've heard such a word and they've denied it, what more is there to worry about for those than the things of this world? A life without Christ can only be concerned with Christless stuff, which means that it can only be concerned, really, with the things of this temporal world, the temporal life, these bodies that we have with grumbling bellies and shivering shoulders. And so then, Christ continues, and he says as much. He says, for the nations of the world seek after those things, because those things are the only things that those without Christ can worry about, can really seek after. The temporal stuff has become gods for the Christless. And it's not always bad stuff that makes its way to the throne of the heart. Food isn't bad. Neither is shelter, nor is clothing. These things are in fact good because they are good gifts. We call them first article gifts within the church. And they're gifts from our Heavenly Father. The danger, of course, then, it's just like everything else in this fallen world, is that the sinner will always take the good things, the creation, the good gifts from God and turn them into our idols. Because what else does it mean to be anxious about the things of this life than to fear going without them more than we fear God? Or to love them and how they make us feel more than we love God? Or to trust in them, to support our body and life, more than we trust the God who has created us and those things that we're placing all of our trust in. Those outside of the church can only make for themselves gods of the things of creation. But our Lord would not have this for his church. Are you a bird? Of course not. You're a rational creature, a human being. You're a man or a woman made in the image of God. And it is this God who created the birds of the air, the things that are not made in his image. And yet, he still takes care of even them. There is food aplenty, even in this fallen world, for the birds to fill their grumbling bellies. If so for the birds, how much more so for you? One who has been made in the image of the Almighty. Are you a flower a lily of the field, a thing a little higher than the grass. By no means. You're the pinnacle of creation. You're the icing on top, the cherry that makes the sundae not just a bowl of ice cream, but a great and wonderful dessert. Apart from mankind, creation would be incomplete. Not only would it not be very good, I dare say that it wouldn't be good at all, because it would be lacking the image of God. Well, if the good Lord above deems it right to clothe the flowers of the field, which are here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, with beauty and splendor that far exceeds the highest dreams of any king in all the world, how much more is your God going to make sure that you are clothed as well? These are, of course, rhetorical questions that don't even need an answer. The answer's so obvious, but the sinner in us can't help but wonder. And we wonder and we worry and we're anxious about all of these things until our belly turns into knots that far outdo the grumblings that an empty stomach could on its worst day. But this is when our Lord wants us, or desires that you hear his word of promise, spoken and given to you. He cares for you, and he loves you more than you could ever, ever imagine. So much so that the Father would rather sacrifice his Son than be torn apart from you. So much so that the Son would rather go through hell on earth than see you have to endure the same. The cross is where all of life's questions find their answer, their ultimate answer. Not that the cross will tell me what I'm going to have for dinner tonight, and not that the cross will explain to me what clothes I will wear tomorrow, but that in the cross we see the ultimate love that the Father and the Son, both of them, have for you. In the cross we see how absolutely and ridiculously impossible it could be that your heavenly Father won't care for you, won't supply for you the temporal things that have to do with this life. And then, and here is the most important part, at the cross we get to see that these temporal things that we busy ourselves with, that we can't help but be worried and anxious about, that we fret about always and just constantly are staring up at the ceiling in the middle of the night worrying about, that these things are not the most important things in this world. They can't be, because they're part of a fallen creation, and nothing of the fallen can ever be more important than that which is eternal. Life is more than just about bread. It's about more than the things that you put in your mouth or wear on your back or drive to work in or fall asleep under. All of these things are important, and most of them, yes, most of them are good because they're gifts from our Lord, but at best they will just fill your belly for only as long as it takes for your belly to be hungry again. Tomorrow's going to have the exact same needs as today, the same anxieties. No amount of worrying is going to change that. No amount of anxiety is going to add even an hour to your life. That's the problem with all the temporal stuff, the finite things. They're always fleeting. But the eternal, the things of God, the things that he instituted through his church that Jesus sent his apostles out to establish, those are the things of life. Christ, he tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is nothing less than Christ himself. Seek him. Not as if he's hiding far away from you, and if you find him, you'll get a reward of a prize of food and drink and house and home. Goodness, the Lord above, our good and gracious God, gives these things even to the worldly. But instead, seek Christ, meaning be where he's promised to give you the eternal things. Come and receive the forgiveness of sins. be reminded of your baptism a million times a day if need be. Share in the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb that has no end, even right here in this temporal fallen world that will surely find its end soon. For the things of the kingdom of God assure to you that you have the one thing necessary, just like Mary a couple of weeks ago. They assure you that you have Christ. They deliver to you Christ. And with Christ, you have all of your sins forgiven. You have a righteousness that you get to wear that exceeds that of even the Pharisees. You have a washing that cleanses from all impurities. And you have a meal that will never leave you with a grumbling belly. And with Christ, then you also have the assurance of all the other things of this temporal fallen world. But also with Christ, you have the assurance that even if the temporal things of this world seem or ever are lacking, your salvation is secure. And in that salvation, you have the promise of the day in which the new creation comes, when you will never find yourself worrying about what's going to be placed on the table before you. Because that feast will never end, because that feast is Christ himself. So fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you Christ, and he has. In the name of Jesus.